I had the craziest dream last night. I dreamed that I woke up and got in my car, went to work, and there were other people in the office, and they were talking and laughing and working, doing things. And it was very busy. People were running around doing this and that and talking, and it was there were people everywhere. And I'm like, this isn't right. And then around noon, I went to lunch. I actually walked down the street to a restaurant, and I entered the restaurant. And this is where it gets crazy. I went into the restaurant, and there were people sitting at tables, and they were being served by a waitress. A waitress was bringing them food on plates and drinks, too. And people were talking and leaning toward each other and talking and touching each other on the shoulders to emphasize points, or on the hands, you know? Like, it was really weird. And I was just, wow, I was blown away. I thought, how is this possible? This isn't how it works. But I went with it. I sat down. I ordered a sandwich. And sure enough, a waitress brought me a sandwich. And I ate it. And there was no disinfecting needed. There was no sanitizing needed. I just ate the food, and I didn't worry about it at all. And I was like, this is crazy. And then a friend came and joined me for lunch, sat right across the table from me, and we talked. We were like 2 feet apart, maybe 3 feet apart, I guess. You know, it was a small table. But we just had a nice conversation and ate food. And it was just weird. It was freaking me out. Then later, I went back to work, and there was a crowd. There were people there, and they were just all together in the same space, sharing the same space, which was just freaky. And after that, I went to the gym, the local YMCA, and it was open. The YMCA was open, which was very strange to me. I mean, I thought, wow, this isn't right at all. I'm like, okay, it's a gym and it's open. Well, let's go in and see what's going on. And I was actually able to go in to this YMCA. I could go to a room where there was equipment, and I got a workout in. I was able to work out with other people right on the machines right next to me. They were on adjacent machines. We were all very close together. And it was, I'm like, wow, this is incredible. I was just so elated. I was so overwhelmed by all this. It was like, it was incredible. I'm like, wow, this is what an incredible world. What an incredible dream this was. And then later that evening, I went with my wife and we went to a concert. And we sat in a crowded auditorium. We all sat in this crowded auditorium together. Everybody was in seats next to each other. And we were like elbow to elbow. Everybody was elbow to elbow, knee to knee. We were talking and laughing. And then the performers came out on stage and they did a show. And we were all laughing and clapping. And it was incredible. And I didn't worry even a single time about applying hand sanitizer or social distance or anything like that. Droplets, mist, how long a virus could survive on a surface or a person. And then I woke up. This all actually happened just like a week ago. The actual, and it is kind of a dream. It has become like a dream to me because it doesn't seem real anymore. Wow. I mean, what a difference a couple of weeks makes, right? The last time I made one of these podcasts was back in mid-February, and our world here in the U.S. was still much the same as it always had been. Things were kind of, you know, just moving along. We were aware that there was an outbreak of a disease over in Asia, and things were getting a little shaky over there, but, you know, we're just like, okay, hey, it's all going to work out. And now here we are in a whole new freaking world. And, you know, usually I like to talk more about my writing and the world of publishing and all that, but, you know, that's also inextricably bound up in this changed reality in which we find ourselves. It's pretty crazy and it's pretty scary. Looking down the road, I keep wondering how long it's going to take for this all to change back, if it's going to change back anytime soon, and I don't think it is, and what the cost is going to be by the time it's all said and done. And it's pretty scary because this disease is this COVID-19, this coronavirus is moving through populations and wreaking havoc, and it's a terrible thing. I don't mean to make light of it at all. If anything, I feel the opposite way about it. It's a terrible thing, and, you know, I don't appreciate the fact that it's striking older people. I am actually in an older age bracket, so I'm not real happy with my position in our current March Madness. Anyway, it's been a little bit tricky, and it's been a little bit difficult for the writing, to be honest with you. It's been very distracting for a while, especially as this activity started to really kick into gear and we started to realize that things were not going to be the way they had been. And, you know, it's made it a little tough to focus in on things, and that's been difficult. But nevertheless, here we are again on the Introverted Exhibitionist podcast, the IE Cast. This is our 12th edition. So in a way you could say it's our one-year anniversary, kind of, sort of, but not really. But it's our 12th anniversary, at least, our 12th edition. And I'm your host, Robert Jashonik. I'm the USA Today best-selling author of science fiction, fantasy, mystery, comics, all kinds of stuff. It's what I do. It's what I love. I love to write and publish. You can find my work all over the place. And anyway, I just thought I'd stop by and tell you a little bit about my world and my writing, as I have done in each other edition of this podcast. Sorry it's been so long since I've cut one of these, but it's, like I said, it's been a very distracting time. And you know what I'm talking about if you're living in the same world in which I'm living, in the same reality. This whole COVID thing has kind of taken over the airwaves. It's taken over the news, and it's taken over our attention and a lot of our time. I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of time running to the store fighting for groceries, especially toilet paper. Must have toilet paper. It's been kind of a nonstop quest to try to beat people to the paper products when they arrive on the trucks at Walmart or the local supermarkets. So it's been challenging and distracting. And, you know, I think it's just been a process of settling into the new normal, as they say. And as the pressure has sort of ticked up, and I live in the state of Pennsylvania, our governor has made a couple of moves to sort of limit public interactions. And the most recent one came late last week when he banned non-essential businesses, non-essential business activity. And that was a big one that really, really moved things into high gear. And we've been at that point now for a little while. We're just short of a complete lockdown. That hasn't happened yet, but I expect it's coming. So, you know, I have good reasons for not doing this sooner. Also, I did have my cataract surgery, my second cataract surgery, back at the end of February. I'm glad I got it done before the COVID crisis, because I don't know if I'd have wanted to spend a lot of time in a hospital with this all going on. I'm glad I got that done. I got the first eye done at the end of January, and the second eye done at the end of February. And now they're pretty good shape. They're still kind of settling in, But, you know, things are looking up, so to speak. My vision is improving, and the best thing of all is that I can drive at night! Yes! Without giant halos leaping out. Giant multiple halos, might I add. Leaping out around every light source, framed by darkness. So, like, headlights were always just flaring in my face, even when they were on low beam settings. And street lights and just any light source would just whoop, flare up. It's like, whom, you know, and like, ah, no, I couldn't see. And it was starting to become a hazard. You know, I was avoiding driving at night. And I was like, do I want to go through the rest of my life like this? I mean, not really. So I'm glad that I went forward with the surgery. Had it done at Shadyside Hospital by an awesome eye surgeon. And he did incredible work. I have a follow-up appointment this week, if it's not canceled. I hope it isn't. And so that was also distracting, you know, especially for the first week or two. It really, and for the first couple of days, it really limited what I could do, limited the amount of activity I could participate in on the computer, you know, which is where I do my writing. And so, you know, I've got lots of excuses, but I guess we all do. And there's no need to dwell on them. All that counts is that we're back. We are back. The IE cast is back in the his house. And we are here to tell you some of the exciting things about my world of writing and the things that I've been doing. So let's talk a little bit about that. Some of the exciting things that have been happening in the last couple of weeks. For one thing, I had a story published in the Uncollected Anthology Project. That's a collective of urban fantasy authors. And we all get together, and three times a year now, I guess it is, we put out what's called the Uncollected Anthology, which is a set of stories revolving around a specific theme. Each author publishes his or her own story, and we publish it independently through Amazon and all these other places, Apple, Barnes & Noble, you name it. And they all fall under the same heading, the same title of the Uncollected Anthology. In this case, the theme is deities. It's issue 21, deities. And it's pretty cool. It's a cool project because it's sort of the same as putting out an anthology, which would be under one cover, right? All the stories collected into one place. Only the stories are all published separately, independently of each other. But they all are falling under the same heading, so we can promote them together. And it's kind of a cool way to go about doing this. It's kind of an interesting approach. I'm kind of a latecomer to the group, but the folks who've been operating the Uncollected Anthology Project since the beginning had some really great ideas and put them into practice, and I think it's a pretty impressive project. I'm really honored to be part of it. I always wanted to try to get in on this one because I thought, you know, they're doing something really different and unique, and now I'm glad that I am in this group. So I hope you'll check that out. My story is actually called Chariots of the Godless. I almost called it the wrong title. Chariots of the Godless. And it's a fantasy story about this future. It's an alternate reality, is what it is, in which the old gods have come back to the earth, and it's like a contemporary earth, right? Roughly contemporary to our time and level of technology. The gods came back to earth and they said, "Hey, we're back. We've got powers, and we should be worshipped, and you know, bow down to us." So that's kind of the reality in which this takes place. And what happens in my story is some of the gods end up disappearing. And it turns out they're being abducted. And some characters investigate what happened. And in the process, they get caught up in this whole bizarre web of strange stuff that sort of takes a real X-Files turn. And it turns out to have something to do with some otherworldly activities, and it's action-packed and exciting and gives you some food for thought. I think it's a really cool story. It originally appeared in a collection called Re Deus Native Lands, which was put out by Crazy 8 Publishing. And that was, oh boy, I can't even remember the year that came out. But anyway, that's a great collection too. There are a couple of different collections of stories that fall into the Re Deus heading from Crazy Eight. And this was, I think, the third book in that series. And I really was happy to be involved in that as well. It's a really cool project. And some really good friends of mine are involved in that. And I hope you'll check that book out as well, the original book in which my story appeared the first time. So anyway, that's, I guess, the one of the publishing things that, that I had coming out this last couple of weeks. I also am happy to announce that the second novel in the Gaia Charmer World Warrior series, it's an urban fantasy series, the second novel in that series, Earthbreaker, is now up for pre-sale, and you can find it on Amazon Kindle Unlimited. It's now there for pre-sale, so I hope you'll jump in and check it out, add it to your queue, and it'll be actually released on April 15th. So that's coming up pretty soon. I'm real happy with the book. And it's the second book in the series. The first book was called Earthshaker. It's been around for a couple of years. It's been very well received. And the third book, Earthtaker, will be coming out 1 month after Earthbreaker. So Earthbreaker is actually going to be released on April 15th, and Earthtaker will be out May 15th. So I hope you'll check out that whole series, that whole trilogy, because I'm really happy with that series. It's really cool. The heroine, her name is Gaia Charmer, she has powers to control the earth. She can control rock and dirt. She can make earthquakes happen and landslides and volcanic eruptions. She has the power to control the earth, which is an incredible power, and it's something different. I don't think it's been done in urban fantasy books, I don't think, before this. So I hope you'll check it out. It's called Earthbreaker. What else have I been working on? Just a couple of different projects, a comic book piece and some proposals and some other stuff as well. So it's been an interesting time, and I'm finally just really starting to ramp up my production again after the sort of scattering effect that came about when the COVID-19 crisis kicked into gear. I'm finally starting to clear my head a little bit. It's taken a while, but I'm happy to say that I think I'm finally starting to get back on the road to recovery, the road to productivity, and that's a good road to be on for me, because I need to keep writing. When I'm not writing, I'm not happy. I don't know about you, if you're a writer. I don't actually know if you share this kind of feeling, but I know that when I'm not writing, again, I'm not happy. In fact, I go to the opposite extreme. I get kind of whacked out. I get really irritable and difficult, temperamental. If I don't feel like I'm making some progress, if I don't have some way to vent the creative energy, right, and to translate it into printed form, if I don't have that, if I'm not working on that, if I'm not doing that, if I'm not exercising that muscle, then I get really unpleasant to be around. I admit it. That's how it is. But I don't think I'm unique in that. And so I'm glad to be maybe moving past that finally. Anyway, let's talk about, I have another project also coming up, which I just finished writing. It's called Authors and Interns. And it's about, it's a nonfiction book. And it talks about my process for recruiting and working with college interns in my publishing business. That's something that I've been doing for a while now. And I've had some really good success with it, and it's been a really enjoyable and rewarding process. And I wanted to write it out so that others could maybe do the same thing in some way. And so that hopefully is going to be part of a bundle of ebooks coming up soon. We'll see. I hope that works out. But I'm really happy with how the book came out. I really am. It was a little bit rocky starting it off because I haven't written a lot of nonfiction in that way for a while. But once I got over the hump, the initial hump of getting it started, it really just kind of wrote itself. And so I'm really happy with the way it came out. I'm glad that's done. Just have to do some work with my editors and also get a nice cover. I don't have a cover for it yet, but it really came together well. And speaking of interns, as you might or might not know, I have several of them on staff right now. One, Joe Melillo, is from the University of Pittsburgh, and the other two, Sonia and Jenny, are both from the University of Iowa. They've been working with my company, Pi Press, for this semester, and they are just a great team, just an incredible team. And they've been participating in this podcast. In fact, Joe and Sonia have both had segments on the podcast in past editions. And now it's Jenny's turn. Jenny Acree, who's attending the University of Iowa. Currently, she's attending it remotely, but at the time when she recorded this podcast segment, she was still on campus. So it might be slightly dated, but I think it's still really applicable and enjoyable. So I hope you'll listen now to Jenny's words, what she has to say. She's talking about school and writing, and as you might, of course, know, the University of Iowa is a major writing school. They have an incredible writing program. I mean, their MFA is world-renowned, and just in general, their writing program, their undergrad writing program is also renowned, and it's just it's a real writing mecca. So the Sonia and Jenny are really fortunate to be able to enjoy that program and to be a part of it and to learn from those great instructors out there. So I'm really lucky to be able to work with them, and I'm glad they're on the staff. And now it's time for you to get a little taste of what Jenny has to say. Take it away, Jenny.
My name is Jenny, and I'm a junior at the University of Iowa, as well as a publishing intern at Pi Press Publishing. Thanks to my major, I spend about 90% of my time reading and writing for classes. I spend the other 10% of my time jumping between different writing projects. Primarily, I try to spend as much time as possible working on my novel. Living in Iowa City, the city of literature, I am surrounded 24/7 by award-winning authors, inside and outside of the classroom. My desk is currently littered with literary magazines, novels, and notebooks plotting stories. Despite the growing list of novels and short stories to read and workshop stories to write, I love absorbing myself in this literary community and pushing myself to improve my writing. Going to live readings and talking to authors are some of the best ways to improve your writing. Learning about new techniques, what's trending, and even hearing authors say, "I almost gave up so many times," is the best thing an aspiring author can hear.
Now, wasn't that great? Jenny really is a wonderful person and a great writer. She's been a great intern as well, and I'm glad that she's a part of this podcast, as is Sonia and Joe. We're going to have more segments, more dispatches from the interns in future editions of the IE Cast, and I can't wait to hear what else they have to say. So anyway, that about brings us around to the closing thought portion of the IE Cast. And I guess this time around, you know, let's just stay on topic, right? We've been talking about the coronavirus crisis in this edition, and it's on all our minds, and in fact, sometimes it's like all we can think about. But, you know, it's something that we should discuss, I think, a little bit at least, because it can be a difficult time when there's a crisis underway. It can be a difficult time to keep up your writing or your creative endeavors, but it can also be a very rich source of material, and it can also be a good time to write as well, especially maybe in a crisis like the current one, in which some of us are restricted in terms of our movement and activity, what we can do, the things we can do, the places we can go, you know, especially if you're on lockdown, if you have a shelter-in-place situation going on. I mean, you're stuck at home, and boy, what better time could there be to plop yourself down in front of that computer and finally force yourself to get that novel going again, or to keep it going, or to ramp up your productivity somewhat, because that's what it's all about. Well, it's one of the things it's about anyway. And by it, I mean writing. Of course, there are a lot of other pieces in that puzzle, but getting your butt in the chair and keeping it there on a regular basis and having the discipline to finish what you started, these are all critical pieces of what it takes to be a writer, to be a successful writer. You have to force yourself to sit in that chair. And, you know, so often there are so many other more interesting things to do, aren't there? I mean, let's face it, especially when the weather starts getting nice. Would you rather be sitting in a chair in front of a laptop screen all day or out enjoying the beautiful weather when spring finally springs? Well, or even better yet, when summer finally rolls in. If you live in an area like I do, which would be a northeasterly area, mid-Atlantic area, in which we have four very distinct seasons, and one of them, winter, lasts for a long time, no matter how bad it gets, right? We didn't have a bad winter this year, but it did just drag out. It just always drags out. And you just have grayness and cloudiness forever. We live in this area. It's like in a valley, and we're kind of under an inversion layer situation. I'm not a meteorologist, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But it's cloudy so often and so long. And, you know, you're craving sunshine. Anyway, the point of all this is, when that weather finally turns, I mean, you really don't want to be sitting in front of a computer, do you? At least not all the time. At least not as much as you do during the winter. But when we have a situation like this, you do have fewer reasons not to sit in front of your computer. And by reasons, I mean, you know, concerts, group activities, because I still plan to get outside, right? In fact, I'm going to do that more than I've been doing. At least that's my plan, to get out in my yard and do things and maybe go for hikes or whatever, keeping social distance from any other fellow hikers or bikers or whatever, of course. But, I mean, that's an interesting point that comes out of all this, is that's one of the things that we're going to maybe do more of, right? Since you can't go to a movie theater or a restaurant or even a family activity, right? You don't want to be in close proximity to anybody just in case you're infected, because, like, most of us don't know if we're infected or not. We have no clue until the symptoms start hitting, because there just aren't enough tests to go around. So, you know, of course we're going to be spending more time outdoors, but we're not going to have as many other activities going on. We're going to have more free time to spend on our projects, our writing, right? And that's a good thing. And the stress that comes out of a crisis situation can also manipulate your perceptions of things, and it can make you think a little bit more in a creative way, right? It can be freeing in a way, because it sort of takes your mind off your normal everyday workday kind of concerns and moves you into a kind of a different state of mind. It's almost a Zen thing. You're so focused on a bigger problem that your normal worries about, can I create something? Can I write this? Is it good? They sort of fade into the background, and you sort of just sit down and just let it flow out. Anyway, the potential is there for that kind of creativity, and I hope you'll seek it out. Give yourself the opportunity to let that happen, and I think you'll be happy that you did. Of course, your health is the top concern, top consideration, your health and health of your family, your loved ones, your friends, right? That comes above all else. But the creativity and the opportunities that come with being a little bit more housebound, right? Those can be good opportunities, and they can help fuel your work. And when you come out the other end of this mess, and hopefully everybody's healthy and happy, and things are starting to pick back up again, and the economy starts to tick again, hopefully you'll come out of it and say, look, I wrote like 6 books in the last couple of months. So, you know, I made this count. Of course, you should also make a count in other ways, keeping in contact with others, making calls and FaceTime calls, and staying in touch with people, the people you care about, helping them through the difficult times. But again, the writing, the creativity can be really invigorating and can be an important part of this, and it can give you something, a motivation to help you get through it, right? Because you're like, well, I'm kind of stuck indoors a lot more. I can't go out and do the fun things I wanted to do. I can't go places as much or be in groups of people. But I can write a book. I can write a couple of books. And when I come out the other end, I'm just going to cut these loose in the marketplace as things pick up, because sales are a little bit slow right now, at least for me. And I know some other folks as well are experiencing that phenomenon. But when you come out the other end, you're going to have a lot of product, and you're going to have maybe some of the stuff that you're really happy with and that you're really grateful that you wrote. So assuming everything else goes well, you can do some wonderful work. And I hope you'll consider that. I hope you'll take that to heart and get your butt in a chair. Don't feel sad about that, right? Because it's part of the game, and it's something that you can't always find time for. You can't always make happen. But if you have the opportunity to do that, then I hope you'll take advantage of it during our current crisis, our current national nightmare, which hopefully will resolve at some point in the not-too-distant future. Let's all keep good thoughts. Let's all join hands now and have some good thoughts that that this doesn't last as long as some of our pundits and scientists and physicians are saying, because it could get pretty ugly. But all the more reason to keep your butt in the chair and type. Don't just be a shut-in. Be a shut-in writer. That's one of the good things, actually, about being a writer. When you are shut in, it's not necessarily always a bad thing. You have things to occupy yourself that other folks might not be so much into. And I think if you're like me, you're going to be less likely to get bored, and you're going to be more likely to be happy about having some opportunities to do some incredible work. So make sure you get your butt in the chair and do the work, and we'll all feel better. We'll all be happier because of it, and the publishing community will be better for it. So that brings us to the end of this edition of the IE Cast, the Introverted Exhibitionist Podcast. I hope in the days to come, until my next edition, that you will seek me out on social media. Look for me as Robert Jashonik, that's my name, and also under my publishing company, Pi Press Publishing and IE Books on Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram and Tumblr and Twitter. I'm all over the place online. You could also join my readers group on Facebook, which is called Robert's Readers. Just look it up, Robert's Readers on Facebook. And it's a really nice group of people. It's a nice community. And I regularly, usually, post free content there, free stories and books for you to enjoy at no cost. So it's Robert's Readers on Facebook. And right now, in addition to being a good time to write, it's also a really good time to read, since you might be stuck indoors more than usual. So check out Robert's Readers. Sign up. I would love to have you in the group. I know the other group members will love to have you as well. It's a really good group of people, Robert's Readers on Facebook. I hope you'll leave a rating or review online for this podcast, because that's one of the things that makes it worthwhile, and it helps me out. So get out there and post some nice ratings and reviews. And that's it for this edition. I'm glad you were able to make it to the 12th edition of the IE Cast. Hope you come back next time. Maybe things will be a little different in the world, and we'll be moving past the crisis finally, I hope. In the meantime, if you're a writer, keep on writing. If you're an artist, keep on arting. If you're a musician, keep on performing. Whatever it is that you love the most, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, keep on doing it, especially now in this difficult time. Keep on doing it. Keep on creating, because that's critical. Good night from Planet Bob. I'll see you next time on the Introverted Exhibitionist Podcast. Stay healthy.